I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
I've carved my place out in your form. We've both been blistered by this storm. But I've never felt rejected. In fact, I'm well protected here.
Folks, it is our privilege every show for the last hour or thereabouts to bring to you a local live recording artist. Man, we have been blown away by some of the talent that has come through this studio. So live on the Drew Marshall Show, an hour devoted solely to the art of music, this week's recording artist is this guy singing in the background, Joel Ogé. Have a listen.
Inside this place, and I pulled myself out of that state, but I was just left hanging. My arms and legs were dangling. Oh, I could wander miles from where you are, tethered to your
Well, in addition to making music that's been featured on Canadian National Television, Network Television, by golly, CTV, CBC, and Global, Lifetime Television, the Hallmark Channel, and ABC, the creative contents of this guy's head, number one, are scary, and number two, live largely in his work at HitGrab, Inc., an internet marketing company. Recording since 1999, when he was 10 years old, and fronting three distinctive bands, Hewitt, Exit, and 6 Days, Joel Ogé, or as Siri likes to call him, Joel Ogé, has always felt at home smack in the middle of the sacred secular road, which is why we like him here on the show. Well, there's other reasons as well. And because for him, it's the same road. Here's a little quote from the man himself. The balance between artist and worshiper is a hard thing, Joel says. If you're a Christian and you're making art, you are in some way sacrificing your art in worship. My art, the thing I create, even though it's not 100% congregational all the time, I consider it an act of worship. It's a daily struggle to put his ego aside. Oh, sorry, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. But ultimately, I'm nowhere near as important as the one I'm singing to. So from World Youth Day, a Catholic gathering over 700,000 youth, from mainstream stages across Canada to television audiences across North America, the UK, France, and Australia, Joel writes and sings with one intention. And he's here today to share with us more about this intention. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You seem to be doing well. You're doing well.
I'm exhausted. Absolutely tired. We both know somebody who was on Canadian Idol.
We do.
Mr. Weeb.
Yeah.
Is that something you would have ever considered? Like, you would have just, ooh, man. Because as Simon would say, you got the whole package.
I was on Canadian Idol.
Oh, I didn't know that. Were you really?
My wife said to me one day, you should try for Canadian Idol. And I was like, there is no way I'm trying for Canadian Idol. And then she, as the boss, so we went to London, and I auditioned there, and I eventually made it to the top 20. And when I got the contracts is when I decided, I'm not going to do this. Because they own all of the rights to all of the songs, whether you've written them 10 years ago or not, they take the rights. So I was like, no.
So it was kind of like Ralph Macchio in Crossroads.
Mm.
And the old black man, Robert Johnson, looking for that Robert Johnson song, remember? And
yeah.
Signing the soul over to the devil kind of thing.
The kind
am I anywhere near this part of the conversation?
No, but what happened, the interesting thing was that night, yes, after I got the you're going to, you should really do this and you're going to make it to the top, I had this conversation with...
Oh. Sorry.
I had this conversation with one of the judges, and they were like, yeah, if you do this and this and this, we think you can make it. And so that night I got an email from Integrity Music in the U.S. saying, hey, we want to offer you a record deal. That night of the audition.
Way to not sell your soul.
So I decided, I'm going to do the record deal.
Cool. Okay, so you're French?
I am French.
What kind of baggage comes with that,
being there's French? A lot of baggage being French.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's this innate desire to separate.
You're such a cheeky boy. No. Such a cheeky boy. Tell us about the gig tonight.
I'm playing at Willowdale Pentecostal Church in Toronto.
Okay.
It's put on by World Vision, and
people can still go get tickets.
Oh yeah,
and stuff like
absolutely.
That?
Okay. I think it's still open to the public.
Well, before they're going to go, they want to kind of actually hear what you do. So
okay.
let's have a hear what you do.
Sure.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a song called "So Deep in Love."
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Is that all right?
Dude, this is one of my all-time... Really going to start off with this?
Well, I mean, because I have to end with a good one.
I love this song. I feel like a little creepy fan right now. He's loosening his tie, ladies and gentlemen, because
unbuttoning
he's a little uncomfortable with how I'm drooling right beside him.
Listen, I need my Adam's apple to be able to move.
Folks, one of my all-time favorites here back on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Joel Ogier.
I apologize if this blows. Here we go.
You can't start a song.
I just did. I've fallen fast in love with you. Yeah, I've fallen fast in love with you. Fasten. I've fallen deep in love with you. Oh, I've fallen deep in love with you. Deeper. Depth that no death can hold me to. Oh, yeah, I'm so deep in love with you. Oh, 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 yeah, I'm so deep in love with you. Oh.
So deep in love, so deep in love, so deep in love. Yeah, I am so deep, deep in love with you. So deep, so deep in love with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Rose on the Drew Marshall Show. Oh, man, dude, absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Okay, appreciate the self-modulation because, man, do you, I mean, you just have this tenacity and gentleness at this, you know, you can just, you're all over the place, man.
Thanks, man. I think. You're all over the place.
No, I mean, really, you have the gentleness and the power all wrapped up into one human being, so it's a pretty intense thing that you got going on there. One of my favorite songs that was done by Hewitt. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the three bands that you were in. Skillet, what was the... Was it Limp Bizkit? What?
So when I was in Limp Bizkit, what... No.
What are they called again?
So Exit.
That's what I meant.
Hewitt.
Yeah.
And 6 Days.
Okay.
Which really were a... It was a metamorphosis of three people kind of in the same... In all of the bands.
Oh, okay.
With one kind of changing member.
Right.
So we just decided to kind of change the names. And different target, different kind of music for each band.
Do you think you've found your pocket now? Like, you're known as like a worship guy now. Mm-hmm. You're known as the Paul Balash of Canada, if you will.
Oh, man. That is a massive compliment. I don't know that I'm going to...
I just read it somewhere. I didn't mean
you
it.
You did?
No.
Who wrote that?
Because
that's...
that's just wrong.
Paul is a whole different... Oh, my goodness.
By the way, thank you for introducing me to Paul in Nashville. I appreciate that.
No problem. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you and Michelle and we were walking down the sidewalk and you were talking to Buddy.
Yeah.
I had no idea who it was, nor did I really care.
No.
And then later you told me that he was someone big and famous and he was a big deal.
Well, I mean...
So I ran back and apologized for not sucking up to him the way I should have earlier.
He legitimately has, there are 30 million people around the world singing his songs every Sunday.
That's whack.
30 million people. It's crazy.
How many people sing your songs, Joel?
There are 30 people singing my songs every Sunday.
You know, I have a problem, and I think we talked about this before. I know I've talked about it on the show, but I have a problem with the worship industry in general.
I do too.
Oh, do we have the same problem? What's your problem?
We share a problem. That's okay. You tell me your facets of the problem that you
Well, I just don't know if... So I grew up in a time where if you sang a song in church, you didn't have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the CCLI kind of stuff or whatever it is, or the Christian music, I don't know, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Copyright and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. It was just weird. It's just weird to have someone record how many times you sing a song in church and then pay for that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone writes a song to God, for God, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of poking at you maybe a little bit.
Doesn't feel like you're poking me.
No, but you know what I mean? I don't know. Why does it have to be an industry is what I'm trying to say. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that, and that is the crux of my problem with it, is that we call it an industry when there really isn't an industry.
There's no, really?
Industry.
Let's talk about Hillsong for a second.
No, but let me just finish because you tend to not let me finish.
Yes.
In Canada, at least,
right.
Industry has this definition of supporting people's lives, right? Like, you need to be an industry, it needs to have both a core market and then ancillary markets to support that core market. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't exist in Canada.
No.
There are very, very few, maybe one or two people total in Canada making a living purely on Christian music. You know what I mean? And that's... So I wouldn't call what we have in Canada an industry.
Are you saying it's not an industry in Canada because it's weenie?
Because it's tiny. Because it's not really supporting anyone. And that's what I'm saying. There's no real market for it. But that doesn't mean that it's not an amazing thing. But I agree with you as well. I mean, some people don't intend for their songs to be multinational songs played all over the world, and don't intend for there to be an industry that supports them, and it's just songs for God, and others don't have that intention.
I guess it's akin to rich pastors.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just a thing in my brain. I'm really, you know, I'm not a Pentecostal. I don't even know what I am. I'm not even sure there's a God. So let's just leave that. But the times where my soul weeps, and it turns into a physical crying thing, is through music.
Okay.
So that's how much I appreciate what you do, because if you can help transport me into the as C.S. Lewis would sort of talk about the Celts, talking about the thinnings. I don't know if you know about those things, but you know the gap between the creator and the created getting really thin.
Right.
Those moments, they're called thinnings. The Celts talked about it, Lewis talked about it, and that's what you do. You transport us into times of thinnings. And
interesting.
I'm not talking about my hairline.
Wow. I love that analogy. I think there is something to be said about music overall doing that. I don't think that it's pure, that it exists purely in church music, as you well know. There are some times when I remember when I was 4 years old. My best memory, actually, when I was a kid, was of my brothers putting on a Peter Gabriel record and me. Like,
great.
Cry,
now you got Tim involved in this.
Right?
Yeah.
Which one?
Oh, stop.
So
he doesn't
right?
have a mic. Why does he talk?
Yeah, I don't know why he talks when he has no mic, but
my voice is so good today.
So Gabriel transported you?
Yeah, to those places where I felt like there's something meaningful. I was only four, you know, and I remember deeply feeling a bond with not just what he was saying, but maybe who he was saying it to, just an outcry, you know. And thinking, man, this is something that I love.
So maybe what I'm getting at is the fact that those moments are so sacred that it almost spoils it when people get paid for it.
So I think, first of all, you carry a pretty significant bias because you know that people are getting paid for it. When the vast majority of people who are in churches, who are singing out to God, or any other venue for that matter, have no idea that there is money being paid out to songwriters for those songs, right? So that knowledge, that ignorance, to a certain degree, is bliss in the church for a lot of people. And arguably, that's probably the way it should be. I don't think that we all need to know that Hillsong United is making a lot of money because of the songs that they've got being played in churches.
I don't think that the public needs to know that Hillsong United is making a lot of money for that kind of music.
Right.
Oh, wait, are you on their label or anything?
No, I don't think so.
No, seriously, are you on their label?
I was, but I'm not anymore.
You don't think so?
No.
Do you not even know what
they've flipped labels, that's why.
So if I say something bad about Hillsong, is it going to affect your career?
No, not at all.
Because that sucks. I cannot stand that music. Seriously, I have such a hatred for Hillsong music.
You do?
I know within the first three bars whether it's a Hillsong song.
Really?
This came from spending 5 years in Australia, being on staff at a church and speaking at different churches as well. And every stinking place I went to, three bars in, Hillsong.
Wow. I would.
Plus the fact that they make billions of money.
I would challenge that. In the sense that I would like to run a test. I don't know if we have that capacity.
We did it on our show a little while ago. We said Hillsong or Real Song. That was our competition.
Okay.
We had. Yeah, it was good.
Because there's some new stuff that they have.
Yeah.
That is just like, huh.
Like Limp Bizkit.
Like no, like Hillsong Young and Free. Have you heard their stuff?
Yeah. Can you just do a song? I don't want to talk about this anymore.
We're just going to argue all show long.
Can you imagine a road trip with me? Oh, my goodness.
Let's do a song. What do you want to do?
Okay.
I'll do a song called On the Blue.
Is this from
the record,
the CD called On the Blue?
Blue? No, it's from a different record.
You're such a jerk. this is one of the very few guys that can run my show here. You want to set the song up? What's
sure.
it about, man?
It's really about
just, the Lord.
It's about the Lord asking Peter to come out of the boat. And I like to ask questions in songs, like, what would that be like? I have no idea if I'd have done what Peter did and actually trusted the Lord and gone out. I'm really afraid of water.
So you would have drowned?
I probably would have drowned. But it's a questioning song.
Beautiful, beautiful. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, the self-modulating Joel Ogier.
Take me to, take me to where you took Peter and the boys, calmed the stormy noise, made it so they knew they had to trust in you. Walk with me, talk with me. I want to know what you would say if you had me face to face. What would I do with my feet out on the blue? What would I do with my feet out on the blue? Would I know that I was safe by your side out on the waves? Would you tell me don't look down? Keep your eyes fixed on me now. When the waves wrap at your feet, don't you worry, look to me. Look to me. Make me move. Lord, won't you make me move? I want to know what you're about and not have any doubt in you. Be what you want me to. What would I do with my feet out on the blue? Would I know that I was by your side out on the waves? Would you tell me don't look down? Keep your eyes fixed on me now. When the waves wrap at your feet, don't you worry, look to me. And even as my brain tells me that I should drown, so believe that you would never let me down. So what would I do? Oh, what would I do? Oh, what would I do? Oh, oh.
Beautiful. Well done, man. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Joel Ogier on the Drew Marshall Show. A little song called On the Blue. That's right.
On the Blue.
We're going to take a short break on the show. We're going to play a little track from Joel Ogier, a little professionally recorded track. Joel is going to do a couple more tunes for us, and we're going to discuss something very provocative. I haven't quite come up with what it is, but it will be provocative. Stay with us.
All of the saints and the sinners who looked upon your face, and as you come breathe new life in me, the fountain that you have built will spring eternally.
Benny Hinn's favorite radio personality, broadcasting legend, Drew Marshall.
Mr. Joel Ogier is in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. One of the sweetest voices in Canada, and just an absolutely big star and big ego. Have a listen.
I get distracted by the smallest things, but my attraction to you never fades. Let me catch
Well, I think, if I think back to, I mean, it's been 11 years, we're at season 11 here. Joel, you were one of the first musos we had perform on our show. The website is joelauge.com, J-O-E-L, Joel, Auge, A-U-G-E.com. How many different pronunciations have people introduced you with? By the way, you got some weird black fluff here thing. It's kind of just weird.
And we're on the radio, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, so. It doesn't matter. Sorry about that.
A lot of different pronunciations. I think there are five or six kind of common.
Ogie.
Miss Ogie's one. Right. Aug is one. Augie is one.
Yeah.
I won't pronounce some of them here.
You're right. Yes. Got it.
Yeah.
Some of your songs can be taken as, or singing to the Lord, as unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
or singing as unto your girl.
Okay.
Is that intentional? In case, for crossover purposes?
Just in case I become famous one day?
Yeah.
With one of them? No, it's not intentional. It's
because I did a whole show, a segment, I mean,
yeah.
on erotic love songs to Jesus.
Okay.
Because
and you included all of mine.
No, but it was another little shot at Hillsong. Because, you know, as a guy, dude, I don't want to sing it with a group of people publicly unless it's a soccer song and there's beer involved.
Right.
I really don't want to sing mellow songs unless it's a funeral.
Right.
And I really don't want to sing about how I love another man.
Hmm. Interesting.
It just, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
So like father issues or like?
Probably.
I'm just trying to think like.
No. There's no question that would you not say that consumers, that most of the consumers that buy worship CDs, is there not a demographic out there, a statistic? It's got to be mostly chicks.
It is mostly women. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But do you know the statistics for people who buy televisions? Mostly women. You know the statistics for people who buy mostly anything?
Right.
Mostly women. So your stats are completely pointless.
Shut up, Drew. Okay, I got it. No, I guess what I'm saying is I do remember I did this horrible thing when I was younger. I took a Jesus song, a God song, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of changed it a little bit.
And you sang it to a girl.
I sang it to a girl. Totally did.
Oh, man.
Who does that?
We are cut from the same cloth, my friend.
Who does that?
People who need other people to like them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You got robbed.
I did.
Is that public information?
Yeah, I mean.
It is now.
It is now. I mean, this is a live show, so yes, it's public information. No, we did. About 2 weeks ago, we got robbed. Yeah. The folks kind of knocked our front door open. And busted it open and then stole about, the tally currently is about $35,000 worth of stuff.
Good night.
Yeah, so.
Including the heartbreaker, the guitar.
I know.
Tell us about the guitar they stole.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to talk. Drew, do you have another question? No.
Just let it go, Joel. Give it up to the Lord.
It was a 2009 Santa Cruz OM Grand. With a mahogany back and a Brazilian rosewood fretboard and a quarter inch extra wide neck. It was basically built just
for you.
For me. Like when I found it in the store, I picked it up and I didn't even ask Michelle if I could buy it.
Oh, that's how bad it was or good it was.
It was like, as like 40, it would be $4,700 to replace.
And they only make a few?
Two a year. They only make two a year. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing is the intrusion aspect of it. You know, somebody was in your place.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, that's not cool.
No, it's not cool. I mean, me and Michelle are processing it in different ways, and I have to kind of be fair with her and try to be as patient as possible. Whenever difficult things happen to me, I just go in an opposite direction as fast as I can and try to, like, move on. That's like
so you're an avoider.
I'm an avoider. I would prefer to move on and forget about it. And I have successfully done that for
until this moment.
Until this moment. Thank you, Drew.
yes.
But for Michelle, she needs to and this is a good thing. She processes things by thinking about things that she's lost and the memories that were made and all of that stuff. And So we're very different. It's required a lot of patience on my part, and it's going to require continued patience on my part.
Is there spiritual stuff in this? Like, do you analyze it?
I do.
From some spiritual perspective, like, why me, God? Or, no. Or as I said to you, my piece of wise spiritual advice, you know, Joel, if you didn't store up treasures on earth,
yeah,
they wouldn't have anything to steal.
Yeah, Drew calls me on the phone. To make sure, you know, schedule, you know. Oh, yeah, and I heard you got robbed. Well, if you didn't care so much about treasures stored in the earth, you wouldn't matter so much.
Hold on. I knew that was not a legit thing. I was trying to sort of set up the deal, like, has anybody actually said that to you?
No one said it until you said
okay,
it, Drew.
All right. No, but spiritually, what?
Spiritually, I think, for me, the biggest thing was that... See, before I was a believer, I actually stole stuff. Like I committed credit card fraud and.
Is this public? Do people know this?
It's public now, Drew.
Again with the now. No, really. Is this part of your testimony?
Yes, part of my testimony.
Oh, okay.
Like,
dude, I didn't know this.
Yeah. So I was 17, 18 years old, moved away from home, had no accountability, started lying about everything. I had lied about stuff before, but never this successfully. and started stealing computers. I charged.
This is karma.
It depends on how you see the world.
Sorry.
If you don't believe in God, yeah, karma is a good way to look at it. I think
such a wise guy.
It was an eye opener for me because it brought me back to those times and it helped me realize that, man, these people are just broken. You have to be really desperate to do this kind of stuff. And
are you saying you're extending grace to these people?
I want to. Yeah. Yeah, I want. Yes, if that's what it sounds like, then that's what I'm saying.
But Jared, what about the whole? What about the protection? The prayer of protection, right? You grow up in the Jesus tribe, and you throw that down, you know, with traveling mercies and prayer of protection, right? And I brought this up with Stephen Curtis Chapman, right? Because we were talking about how his one child accidentally hit the other child in the driveway, and they had a child die.
Yeah.
And that same week, the Stewarts from KRT had a child pass away of cancer, Emma Grace. 15 years old. The week prior to that, or maybe it was the same, I think it was also the same week, buddy Rick Warren, his son killed himself.
Yeah.
And so then you get into this conversation of target theology.
Hmm.
You know,
yeah.
The enemy is out to get you even more because you're out there for the Lord, singing worship songs and preaching and stuff. And so my response to that whole thing was, I've kind of told this story too many times on the show, but my deal is, really? That's the deal? That's the arrangement we just made, God? I step up and become some kind of rock star for you and one of my kids get killed? I'm not signing up for that program.
Yeah, and I think, like, my view is that's just an absurdity. I honestly don't think that that's how God views the world. I think he knows that each one of us is broken, and that our sin is a measure of our distance from him. The closer we are to him, the less sin we want to commit. The further we are from him, the less know the sin we're committing is making us further from him. You know what I mean? So I just pray for closeness for people to God. That's what I do. I pray that I get closer to God. And that, yeah, that the stuff that I still commit, the sins that I still commit today, that in my relationship with the Lord, as I get closer to him, those things do seem to fall away.
Okay, so do you think that because you're this worship-leading person, and when we say worship, we're talking about worship music, worship singing, and you're leading people into these cool, you know, I love you, God moments, that the target on your head is bigger and that's why you got robbed?
I don't think so. There are many, many... I lost more in that one day than most people have in the world. You know what I mean?
That's a pretty good perspective.
If it's an atrocity to lose 35 grand worth of stuff in one day to some dudes who needed a crack hit, you know, like, that's not an atrocity to me. That's just someone who's broken. It really is. Because there are people who go their entire lives making a fraction of what was stolen from my home in a day.
So did you just accuse Rob Ford of stealing from your... Did we hear that here on the Drew Marshall Show?
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I pray for closeness to the Lord. That's what I do.
I think we should be praying for another song.
Yeah, okay. Let's
from Mr. That. Joel Auger. What are we going to do this time, Stinky?
Do you remember the song, Okay, But You Stole My Heart and Now My... A Hewitt song? That Hewitt song?
Really? You're going to do this now?
Yeah. Yeah, is that okay?
Do you hear my feet?
He's
so excited, man.
If I can remember it. Remember last time I tried to sing it? I went over it last night just so that I could...
Thank you.
You broke into me and stole my heart. You could say I was a cage. Remnants still remind me who I was. My heart was getting bad with age. Breaking through was not the easiest. I was fighting all the way. But you stole my heart, and now my heart's okay. Breaking into me was just the start. 'Cause when you stole my heart away, you forgave it with all you are. And that's why it still loves today. Breaking through was not the easiest. I was fighting all the way. But you stole my heart, and now my heart's okay. Yeah, you stole my heart, and now my heart's. You stole my heart, and now my heart is fine.
Doors that used to open wide. Every now and then I check my cage to see if I'm still free inside. Breaking through is not the easiest. I was fighting all the way, but you stole.
On the Drew Marshall Show. Freaking amazing. You big jerk.
Is that a tear I see, Drew?
That was, hold on, what's that from? You sound like, never mind. I've totally lost my train of thought. You're such an idiot. I hate you. Creating songs and getting into that space, what does it take? Do you... You know, what's the process for you? Is it intentional? Is it, okay, it's 4 o'clock on Friday, I got to get into my special room, and I get the humidifier going with eucalyptus oils, and yet another awkward moment?
No, you know what it is? It's just being ready, for inspiration, because it comes from anywhere. Paul Balazs, my good friend, Paul Balazs. No, he teaches this in his songwriting sessions, like his classes, because he gives classes on songwriting. And
thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
From the Department of Redundancy Department?
He says, you know, writing songs is about being prepared for inspiration. So my voice notes are like one of the most common things I go into on my iPhone. You know, like I'm like a line, like you'll say something on the radio, and I'll purposely avoid writing that down.
Oh.
Yeah, like just I make sure the radio's off so that I can take real inspiration and absorb it.
Right.
No, just that's readiness. Readiness. Always being ready for like, oh, that sounded like a cool thing.
But do you notice a pattern of stuff coming to you? Like for example, well, not really an example, but what I can sort of attribute this to a little bit is Bob Dylan was asked about those early years and those lyrics and the songs, and he says now, I have no idea where those came, he sort of does, but like,
yeah.
It was just crazy. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think, he has been known to say that of his career. Like, he's really thankful for those early years.
Right.
And he listens back and goes, man, I like that. That's actually pretty good.
That was your Bob Dylan?
No. Yeah, that was...
It was really good.
It was really good.
But have you noticed a trend of when creativity comes? Like, for me, I've said this again too many times in the show... When I'm in a funk or I'm tired, stuff flies out of me.
Huh, interesting.
When I'm happy, which is rare, there's nothing.
Yeah, for me, it varies. I think it's
drinking.
It's seasonal. Whatever it takes, Drew.
Right.
Like, I'll do a line of cocaine or
this.
No,
this.
Just,
you got to finish your thought? Okay, go ahead.
That's it.
Okay. This is what I have been told on numerous occasions.
Okay.
And you need to tell me if this is true or not.
Okay.
What is with the Christian music scene week when it happens in Nashville, the GMA thing? Dude, you can score whatever you want to score during that week.
Really?
Yes. Have you not heard this?
No, I've been there once.
Oh.
So I honestly don't. I honestly don't know, but now that I know.
Hello, Mr. Ford. Well, I think that we are becoming a hardened species when it comes to God getting through. And so it is important, kind of like the troubadour in some ways, for us to have you doing what you do. Because the longer we especially in North America, travel down this road, I think the harder our hearts are and the more deaf we are becoming. And you are a soul cracker. That's, you know, you and I can joke around a lot, and we have and will continue to do, but you are just a freak is what I'm trying to say. and if there is a God, then I believe he is actually using you. And that's the nicest thing I will ever say, so let's make a joke now.
Wow, that was really nice to say. No, I mean...
But it still bugs me you get paid for this.
What, you're paying me for this?
Oh, yeah. Shoot!
Wow!
No, it doesn't.
No.
Not you.
I think, for me... There's, you never question about whether or not you're going to pay your plumber if he comes and fixes the pipes in your kitchen.
We're back talking about crack again?
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying the guy who's fixing you breakfast in the kitchen at Sunset Grill, you don't ask whether or not he's being paid to do that. You just know he's being paid to do it.
I know. I don't know.
I know. Just because things are spiritual. Jesus spoke a lot about money. Like, a lot. About money. So he didn't think that money needed to go away. He wasn't like, oh, money is not important. No, it was really important, right? So he talked about it a lot. Whether or not we value it the way he wants us to is a different story altogether. I think we place, as someone who's made a significant amount, I'm not saying I'm a billionaire. Or anything,
no, but you've done well in business.
I've done okay
business,
in business.
But like a different thing, a part of your life.
So as someone who's made enough money to not really need more money, I can say money does nothing except for give you resources to do cool things. And then once those cool things are over, it's like, what is it good for? It really does nothing. It's a resource. And it's ultimately God's resource anyways. So that's the way I see it.
Who would you like to tour with, ultimately? Let's do fantasy one, and then like legit, you know, funding a killer tour. Like for you and Jacob Moon, that's crazy big egos in one room, right?
So yeah, I mean the two of us together, it would never fly.
No,
because both of us think we're so amazing. And
so fantasy tour, who would it be?
I would love to tour with you two.
I feel the same way about you.
Yeah. I think that Bono and the guys in the band, they do it for a very large purpose. They intend to change the world with their platform, and I really want to be part of a platform that changes the world. So there's that. That's a fantasy. That's like, that'd be amazing. Then the people that I would like to tour with, kind of like as a pragmatic, hey, let's set up a tour and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really love leading worship, so whenever Paul Balazs comes through town,
really, you're going to drop his name again?
I just love him. He was at my house the other day. I love him. I think he's amazing. He's like a brother.
Bromance.
Okay, and maybe other guys like that. Other guys who are worship leaders. I really love to lead worship.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris
Tomlin?
No. Chris Vache is leaving Orangeville Baptist, going somewhere else.
Yeah,
did you know that?
C4, yeah. On the
What's C4? Isn't
it's
that
it's an explosive.
I get it.
No,
okay.
It's a yeah.
We're explosive for Jesus, right? And that's what they're calling their church?
It's been called that for a while, so I think the joke was over when
I don't know these things.
No, they've been there for a little while, and they have a couple different events that they've run over the years. But Chris is an awesome worship leader and pastor.
How do you know God is real? And then let's get you to do a song.
Have you tasted watermelon? Have you?
That's your answer. best answer I've ever heard, by the way.
No.
Do you know he's real?
I know he's real.
Or do you hope he's real?
No, I know he's real.
Based on
how when I ask for crazy things to happen or when I pray in expectation of amazing things to happen and then explosively amazing things happen, that's when I'm like, huh.
So you
like it was
you believe in
impossible.
Him because he gives you stuff.
No, not gives me things. It's not about getting things. It's about a dialogue. It's about being in, like, if it was a one-way conversation, I would be hoping that he's real.
It never feels like a one-way conversation?
Sometimes it feels like a one-way conversation, but sometimes...
Why do we sound like Seinfeld?
I don't know. Sometimes it feels like sometimes it feels like a one-way conversation, and in those times, I feel dry in my life.
Yeah.
But when it does feel like there's a dialogue happening, I just can't deny that he's real. I'll give you a really good example. I'm building this new business right now, and it's called Fancy. It's for artists to help them get support from their fans. And I was looking for a CTO, a chief technical officer, to help me build this business. And I was praying, Lord, I really need the right person for this. And I was, you know, doing the footwork, getting interviews, interviewing guys through referrals and stuff. And I wasn't finding this person. It's such a crucial role in a technology business to find that technology guy. You know?
Got
you
it.
Think?
Yep.
So all this time praying, meeting with a couple guys, feeling like, okay, well, maybe this guy will fit, maybe this guy will not, but then telling the Lord, like, I really need someone super special. Like, they need to be special. And so one of my friends says, hey, I know this guy, and he's at this company in Kitchener-Waterloo, and you should talk to him. So I set up a meeting with him.
It's not a BlackBerry guy, is it?
No.
Okay.
I set up a guy with a meeting with this guy. I set up a guy with this guy. No, I set up a meeting with this guy, and we were sitting there at the table, and I explained to him the whole idea, and he explains to me where he's from. He's from this company called Kick Messenger in Kitchener-Waterloo, and they have built a 100 million user platform, people chatting to each other.
Okay.
100 million people using this platform.
Right.
So he's obviously very talented. He's one of the core guys there. And in the middle of the conversation, we find out that he was at a venue that I played at 13 years ago in the UK. He's English. He was at this venue, and it turns out that was pivotal in his walk with the Lord.
No.
And then his sister named her company the name of our first of Capstone's first record, Integreality. And they moved to Canada and started serving at a church downtown Toronto. And I interviewed him as an engineer. Like, I had no idea about his background.
Okay.
And here he's placed in front of me, and I'm just going like, I could not have prayed.
What are the odds?
The odds are, like, for this kind of engineer,
yeah.
And for him to be able to
have that backstory, and
like, okay. I've been in the tech space mostly atheists.
Right.
It's just, it's a very scientific, data-driven field.
Yeah, well, nerds are bitter.
Yeah. And so to find this person, I was asking for something special, and something special happened, and I really feel like God is the one who put it together.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean, yeah.
Okay, let's do a song.
Okay.
Get me out of this conversation. Folks, I want to tell you a little bit more about Joel Auger just while he's getting set up for this song. His website is, again, Joel Auger, AUGE.com, Joel Auger. And he has been this week's stellar recording artist live on the Drew Marshall Show, an hour devoted solely to the art of music, Joel Auger. Have you won any awards? Are you a Covenant Award winner? Are you?
I did.
Did you win the night I was there?
I did.
I missed that.
I know. You were talking to a lot of people. This is called Here to Love, and it's my personal manifesto.
Whoa.
There you go. Pretty
that means heavy. It's going to be a long song, isn't it?
It is very long-winded. Here we go. Lord, I don't want to lead. I want to follow. All the riches I've gained here are nothing but hollow. Give me substance. Give me life. A life of abundance. In things I can't see, the truth that is spoken in the life that I lead. Give me purpose, give me love, 'cause I'm here to serve, I'm here to give, I'm here to worship. If the first will be last, if you came for the broken, help me to lose myself to gain all that you've spoken. Oh, I'm here to live, I'm here to love, I'm here to give, 'cause I've got enough. I'm here to like you, and love like you told me to. Lord Jesus, you know me and all of my ways. You've come for this broken man, brought light to my days. You've given me substance, you've given me life. And Jesus, you've shown me life is much more than treasures and glory and power and more. You've given me purpose, a reason to love. Oh, so I'm here to serve, I'm here to give, I'm here to worship. If the first
like you told me to. I'm here to live like you and love like you told me to.
Joel Ogier on the Drew Marshall Show. Once again, like a bad rash. Fantastic, man. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Can people buy a little something from you? Can they go to the website or go to iTunes? Or
yeah, they can go to
the
iTunes and get all my
Kijiji
music
and buy some used CDs.
They could probably go to Kijiji and find some stolen stuff.
Yes.
And,
oh,
you know, and
buddy. Buddy. Too soon.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. It's got nothing to do with me. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I said the joke.
Yeah, okay. It's all right then. Man.
Yeah.
So they can. We can.
Yes, they can.
When was your latest release?
2.5 years ago.
Okay. All right. So get to work.
I'm working on a new one, yeah.
Get to work.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man. Really do.
And love coming here. You guys are... I really love coming here. You guys are awesome.
Thanks. Thanks for elaborating on that love. Folks, that is the end of our show. Thanks for tuning in. Had a bit of fun. We'll see you next Saturday.
Well, I take a stand on justice. Well, I take a stand on race. I'm going to take me a TV evangelist and punch him in the face. I sing about the hope that's...
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA. Except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?